This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Jeff Horwich.
The Troubled Assets Relief Program, TARP. You might recall that was the formal name for what we often just call the bailout. In 2008, Congress allocated $700 billion to stabilize the U.S. financial industry. Congress and President Bush assigned one man to build a team and police all that spending. Until February, Neil Barofsky was the Special Inspector General for TARP. His book about the experience comes out tomorrow. It's called Bailout, an inside account of how Washington abandoned Main Street while rescuing Wall Street. Neil Barofsky, good to talk with you.
Great to be here.
So, Neil, what was the job that you believed in your core you were appointed to do?
Well, essentially, that was set out by Congress when they created TARP. They created a special inspector general that was supposed to be the taxpayer's advocate in many ways, to look out for fraud, to make the necessary recommendations to Treasury, to help bring them in line so that the banks and participants in TARP wouldn't rip off the taxpayer or take advantage of loopholes or conflicts of interest. And at the same time, as a law enforcement agency, to go out and lock people up when they tried to steal from the program.
Be a junkyard dog, I think, is Senator Baucus, was it, his mandate to you?
Exactly. And I think my original idea of the job was I was going to be mostly locking people up. I was a former prosecutor, and the law enforcement side was really what my focus was thought it was originally going to be. But when I got to Washington, what I found out was that essentially our country has been hijacked by the interests of a handful of very powerful Wall Street banks who have put, you know, have captured government to the point where the officials running TARP would put the interests of those Wall Street banks and their executives often over that of the American people, the taxpayer, the homeowners, all the other people that TARP was supposed to help.
So when you got to the Treasury Department, from whom you were nominally supposed to be independent, what was the job that they seemed to want you to do?
Well, essentially, they wanted me to back down, I think. Every time I started raising some concerns, and it became immediately apparent to me that these programs were deeply flawed and there was a real danger that the banks were going to be able to take advantage of the taxpayer. And the pushback I got was remarkable. I remember within the first couple of days, I started hearing a refrain that I heard over the course of a couple of years from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. And it was basically a condescending pat on the head and saying, Neil, we hear what you're saying about your concerns about fraud and about potential abuses in this program, but really you don't have to worry about it because these are banks. And this was the refrain. They're not going to risk their reputation by taking unfair advantage and possibly profiting off of the taxpayer. And it was sort of a remarkable response. It was almost as if they hadn't seen the financial crisis. They hadn't seen that these banks always put profit over everything, in particular their reputations. There was one time when I was talking to who's now the president of the New York Fed, Bill Dudley, and they were rolling out a $200 billion program that had no fraud protection, no compliance regime. And when I questioned him, I pushed him, how could this be acceptable? He explained to me that he wasn't concerned because they were going to rely on the credit rating agencies. And when I confronted him, I think the word I said was, really? You're going to bet $200 billion of taxpayer money on the same credit rating agencies that helped cause this crisis because of their abysmal performance? He assured me that he wasn't worried. Why? Because he was sure that they would never be embarrassed again. And that's mm-hmm. the type of capture that's in Washington.
You write a lot about your disillusionment with the Home Affordable Modification Program. It's TARP money that was supposed to go to banks to help people stay in their homes. In your view, what happened to it?
Well, the program has been an abysmal failure. It's supposed to help up to 4 million people. Even today, it's about 20% of that number, and it doesn't look like it's going to get much better. Of the $50 billion allocated, now, today, it's about $3 billion, which, to put it in perspective, is less than American Express credit card company got from TARP. So the program has been a failure. And part of the problem is the same problem that I saw over and over again, this deference to the banks and the subordination of the interests of homeowners and regular people. You know, we confronted Tim Geithner about this in 2009. I was at a meeting with Elizabeth Warren, who was then the head of another TARP oversight body, and she was really pushing Geithner on this program and how it didn't seem like it, by its design, it would ever be able to meet its goals. And his response was very telling. It wasn't talking about how the program could be improved to help owners. He said that the program would help, and I quote here, foam the runway for the banks. And by that, he explained that the banks could deal with a certain number of millions of foreclosures over a certain period of time, but anything more than that could put the financial system and those banks in jeopardy. And HAMP, the one program that was supposed to help homeowners, was really all about extending out the foreclosure crisis for the banks. And with that in mind, there's little surprise that the program has been such a failure for everyone other than the large banks, which is sort of the story of TARP overall.
There are a lot of folks in Washington who would probably say, you didn't play the game right. And if you had, you might have accomplished more. Can you look back and say that you actually accomplished anything in your role?
I think we had a tremendous amount of accomplishments. And I think when you look at the fraud losses for TARP, which are going to be historically far, far below anything that one would imagine for a program its size and scope, I think that probably is our most meaningful success. We're able to rally Congress and the Fed to stop some of the most damaging Treasury programs, those most vulnerable to fraud. But you're right, I certainly didn't play the game. And, you know, at one point in 2010, I was told that in very stark terms. I was told by the person who was running the TARP at the time that if I didn't change my tone, as he put it, wasn't a little bit less harsh on Wall Street and the government in my descriptions, that I was going to do great harm to myself and my ability to get a job on Wall Street or a more plum appointment within the administration, that if I only changed my tone, you know, great things could happen to me, including a plum appointment. And, you know, I think at its core, people who say that or talk about playing the game, that's a really dangerous, dangerous precedent. And I think that's one of the problems with our financial system today is you have regulators. I think the most startling thing is that I was actually told that explicitly. But implicitly, because of the revolving door between Washington and Wall Street, there's that incentive for all the regulators to pull their punches, play the game, and get their big payday at the end of the rainbow. And I think that's one of the fundamental problems that I talk about in the book, and is something that we need to change if we want to avoid having another financial crisis.
Somebody reading your book could easily be stripped of any faith they might have had in our federal government. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they should be angry. And look, there are good people in government. There are some good agencies in government. It's not all bad. It's not all a cesspool. But right now, and it was, again, this is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. This was across administrations. Wall Street controls the dialogue. And that's why we still have, even after this crisis, these behemoth banks who continue to abuse the trust, continue to act as if they're above the law. And good, and to a certain extent, people should lose faith, because only if we lose that faith and we get this anger can we effectively compel our leaders to change the system. We need to break this status quo that is pillaging us as regular taxpaying Americans and further enriching these financial elites who are going to continue to abuse us and wreck the system. That's what the incentives are there. And I hope that anger we can tap into and do it for good, positive change that we need as a country.
The former Special Inspector General for TARP, Neil Barofsky, his new book is Bailout. Thank you.
Thank you very much.